This is CICK News. The Village of Telkwa held an open house on Tuesday, March 25th at the Village Office on Highway 16 to introduce the updates to the Official Community Plan, or OCP. One of the standout amendments to the original plan was the Updated Housing Needs Report, or HNR, which assessed a great need for housing. While that's really no surprise, the numbers looked ambitious for a small rural village. Claiming to meet the needs of the village, Telkwa needs to build 68 new units in the next 5 years and 240 units over the next 20. Scott Beeching is the Development Services Officer for the Village of Telkwa, so I sat down with him to ask how Telkwa plans to do it.
Can you tell me what will you be presenting at the open house tonight to Telkwa residents? And I guess, do you foresee positive response for the amount of units that's in your housing needs reports?
Yeah, so when the government required everybody to update their housing needs reports, it was just some new calculations, so six new numbers to come up with a more accurate number and probably looking at people who are underserved by the current housing needs. The numbers that we came up with in Telkwa were 68 units over 5 years and 240 units over 20 years. And requirement of that is also to update your official community plan to allow for those number of units. We're updating our official community plan, but really just with the most up-to-date demographic information. The OCP as it sits right now actually does allow for those number of units, and the zoning bylaw does as well. So if Telkwa was in a position where they couldn't accommodate the 68 units or the 248 units, then they'd have to amend their OCP and then amend the zoning bylaw to allow for those units. We're presenting the OCP amendment and the results of the interim housing needs report. We're also presenting some of the other information that we're working on. So we're looking at streamlining the process so when people are making applications, it's more efficient.
And this would be applications for additions to their houses or like carriage houses, that sort of thing?
Yeah, carriage houses could be, but really any development. So any subdivision, rezoning, any variance, floodplain exemption, those types of things. So if someone does need an addition, they might need a variance or they might need a floodplain exemption. So we're hoping to streamline those processes so then when people come in, they can actually move through the process faster and create housing units faster.
Yeah. When I was reading the interim housing needs report, and so there were a couple of things that I guess I wanted to maybe, if we could speak about them sort of anecdotally,
yeah,
as to what the town
sure
actually really needs when
yeah
you're looking at these numbers, right?
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, 68 yeah new units in 5 years, 240 in 20. So first 5 years, who's getting priority?
Yeah. I would say it's going to be market-driven largely. So Telkwa is really fortunate to have the Seniors Housing Society that's providing housing. They've already provided, I think, 22 units. They're looking at another 22 to 24 units over the next number of years. That's very fortunate for Telkwa to have the society that's willing to do that. But who should be getting the priority is, the Housing Needs Report says that seniors, families, but also rental units, market rental units is a big need. And then more attainable housing where it's market housing, not necessarily high-end second home type housing, but housing that's available for families to rent, first home buyers, those would be the people who are in the biggest need.
In the section, the suppressed housing household formation, we were mentioning the greatest need was for Telkwa residents between the ages of 65 to 74. Aldermere House did provide 12 units, and that was in 2022, which is the most recent. But I do know that further attempts from the Telkwa Senior Housing Society for land that's shovel-ready is not seeing, they're not getting bites, their applications are being denied from BC Housing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a plan for the town to help address or maybe make that application stronger so that these senior housing units are being built as fast as possible?
Yeah, I think the village is working with the Seniors Housing Society. There is land available. Shovel ready is an interesting word. It's providing the services is often the most costly part of providing any housing. That's probably one of the challenges, but I think they have a strong application and they are moving forward with in the application process. So though perhaps they've been denied in the past, I think they are moving forward. And the 68 units required, the 22 units that they have now, and then they want to add another 22. That's a pretty big dent in that 68 units.
Yeah. Do you have any fear that 68 units in 5 years can't be done for finding the companies to be able to build enough units?
I think that's going to be the challenge, is finding someone who sees Telqua as a market they want to build in. I think right now the rural areas are, there's just anecdotally, they're experiencing twice the growth that the villages and towns in the valley are experiencing. So I think it's just finding someone who wants to come to Telqua and build a market house or a spec house and have the opportunity to sell it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Two people who have been working toward much-needed seniors housing in Telqua are the following voices you'll hear. The McDivitts are two of the three members of the Telqua Seniors Housing Society. They manage properties, write grant applications, delegate on behalf of seniors in council meetings, you name it. I sat down with the McDivitts in the common room of their most recent housing complex called Aldermere House to discuss the future of housing in Telqua for the most needed demographic, seniors.
Janet McDivitt, and I'm part of the society that, what do we do, manages the Aldermere House and Telqua House.
Great.
Secretary Treasurer.
And I'm John McDivitt, and I am president of the Telqua Senior Housing Society, and this Aldermere House was just about finished. Now we got a little more work, but our society owns it. We pay a mortgage. We pay taxes, like lots of taxes.
We have two tenants, one down in Telqua House, one in Aldermere House, that are maintenance chaps. And right now, our society, we have three members, and we hope to add 3 to 4 more members, because we're just a little bit too small now. Mm-hmm. And back when we joined the Senior Housing Society, there were over 50 members.
Can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 77.
Okay. And yourself, John, how old are you?
78.
Okay, so I wanted to get both of your opinions. You've got a very unique perspective, mm-hmm. because you're seniors who are also advocating for seniors, mm-hmm. writing applications,
yeah.
paying off this mortgage, managing these multiple buildings, we're talking about a new build as mm-hmm. well. So when you hear that the Village of Telqua is looking at adding, that they have a initiative to add 68 new houses in 5 years, 240 in 20. What's your reaction to that?
I think, wow, where's this ambition all of a sudden coming from?
Yeah.
If they can do it, yes, go for it. Yeah.
I don't know where they'd get the land. And although I wish them luck, week 24, I believe, on our waiting list for the new ones we're going to build. And we got 24 units.
Yeah. As the Seniors Housing Society, though, had you been approached or were you asked for any feedback when the, because it's an updated housing needs report. That's what this is, the 2024 updated housing needs report for part of the official community plan. That's what this is part of. Yeah, or even as residents of Telqua, were you asked for input on this?
No.
I don't recall anything at the moment, no.
No.
Okay.
So what do seniors who are on the waiting list, what's their experience right now? You said you have 24 on the waiting list.
The ones are pretty well okay. Barbara has her story.
Sure.
And it's quite something. Uh-huh. And I had somebody else, another tenant, that she was living in a cabin here in Telqua and very poor conditions. And then her husband passed away, and she was cutting wood, bringing in the wood.
Packing water,
mm-hmm. and fell and broke her arm, and then she was in a bit of a state. When we look at the wait list, they're all numbered, but I put Barbara on as a priority because I knew her story.
As you can hear, John and Janet are passionate about affordable housing for seniors in Telqua. But as they're both in their late 70s, mind you, they're incredibly capable, the reality is the balance of a town initiative to support seniors' housing versus the hands who are willing to do the work feels a little off kilter. If John and Janet need to stop managing this building or the new Hubert building, who takes over?
Why are you on the Telqua Seniors Housing Committee?
We joined, I guess we were persuaded by some back before the year 2000 to come on. We were also members of the Telqua and District Seniors Association. They have their own hall. It's at the barbecue ground. So we've been members with them for ages, although we are not now because we've got too much here to do.
Yeah.
So we got involved with, gosh, a lot of those people are gone now, eh?
Yeah.
Holy crow.
But I guess what I'm wondering is because a lot of people, they see a need, but they don't do anything about it. Yeah. So why do you do something about
it? Yeah, I don't know. We just...
It had to be.
It was exciting. And to raise money to buy this property,
we bought the land.
Yeah, the society bought the land.
Yeah.
But the town hasn't helped us at all.
No, they stayed away from things. They've been helpful in some other ways, but any faxing and office-y stuff, they have been helpful in sending emails down to Vancouver.
Yeah, because I can't scan.
Yeah.
Thank you to Janet and John McDivitt for their interviews today, as well as a tour of Aldermere House, and Scott Beeching, the Development Services Officer for the Village of Telqua. When you hear about a disco dance, do you think, okay, but how about this? At an all-ages event to culminate Neurodiversity Celebration Week, local DJs played music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s all at the same time. Now, while that sounds like a total nightmare, it was actually perfect, because at a silent disco, you don't hear much more than the shuffling of feet and people speaking over top the music coming through their headphones. Three DJs play music, and you in the audience wearing your over-ear headies can tune into a frequency and listen to whichever DJ you want. I climbed into the DJ booth to chat with Marco Kimmel, who was running two of the three channels at 9:30 at the Old Church's silent disco event.
So it's kind of hectic.
Are you red and green
right
now? I see a lot of people are really vibing on the green.
Yeah, that's the request. That's the open channel, so it's like people can request songs.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess, can you kind of explain what is actually, because this is an audio medium as well, so can you explain what is going on in this room right now?
So basically there are three different channels, and so we have three different genres of music playing at once, and so people can pick between the channels on their headphones.
So how are you kind of picking your music tonight?
So I coordinated the DJs, and my idea was kind of to do different genres, do different decades. Mm-hmm. So we have everything from 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, today's hits. I wanted to make it all encompassing for all ages so everyone can have music they relate to.
Yeah.
Because I knew it would be kind of a family friendly event.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
tell me what song is on Green Channel right now, because people are just loving it.
It's mostly been kind of, so that's the open channel,
right.
So people can request songs.
Yeah.
And it's definitely been the most popular,
which makes
sense. But right now we have Low by T-Pain playing,
gotcha.
Which is kind of like an early 2000s hit. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, and I guess, can you tell me, like, so as someone who has DJed at events before, you know, by the end of the night, I'm like, my voice is gone because I've been talking over loud music, my ears are sore. How is this different?
Well, you can see right here, we've got a couple young gals having like a dance competition happening. When they're all ages, it's just so fun. It's really feeling inclusive, and
yeah.
I love how people can request songs and really just make the night what they want it to be. And it's really, silent disco is awesome for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Can you tell me a little bit about this silent disco, and then maybe also too why this event feels like a good event to celebrate neurodiversity and awareness?
Yeah, silent disco is basically you have three live DJs mixing music, but it's fed into headphones where people can switch channels to each of the DJs. Each DJ has a color.
Mm-hmm.
You can switch to the color of the DJ and listen to the music they're playing, and it kind of changes through the course of the night where you know, people are mixing with the red DJ and then they shift over to the blue DJ depending on the music that they're playing.
Yeah.
So it really creates a fun dynamic because people are dancing.
Yeah.
And crazy, but nobody's actually necessarily on the same channel.
Yeah.
They're just having fun together. And the nice thing is that we're standing in the room right now.
Yeah.
And we can actually hear each other and have a conversation in a nice, beautiful, quiet atmosphere, but yet everybody's having fun like they're at a dance.
So something that surprised me when I walked in was how many kids are here.
Yeah, I mean, really, we tried to be family-oriented in the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we're not telling the DJs what music to mix, so sometimes it's a little bit crazy. But it is something that, you know, kids can feel comfortable with because there's not any alarming sounds or anything that's really crazy. It's just a good, fun atmosphere. And, you know, there's probably, you know, at least a dozen kids in the room all at one time, and they're all having fun.
Yeah.
We even had an opportunity where we had some kids go up and actually mix live DJ. Kids are participating in the whole event. They can be part of it, which is great.
Depending on between the I see two people switching from, they just went from red to blue, back to red now.
It's all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are our DJs here?
Well, they just swapped in new DJs.
Yep.
We had two DJs previously, John Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of the classics guy. And Nicola.
Yeah.
And she's just a great dancer, does all the moves and gets everybody engaged.
Nice. Yeah.
And now we've swapped out for Margot and Elsa.
Okay,
very cool.
Thank you to Margot Kimmel and Mark DeHoog for their interviews. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.